Yes, want to talk a little bit, you know, the Ramban writes that Sefer Shmos has three themes, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and then Matan Torah, and then Mishkan, and this is the progression, that first we leave the evil, and then we embrace the good, and then we're ready to make ourselves a Mishkan, a dwelling place, meaning the Mishkan is a symbol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu resting his Shechina in our hearts and souls, right? The most important pasuk here is, V'yasu li mikdash, make for me a mikdash, v'shachanti v'savcham, so I will dwell in their midst. So Chazal make the point, the Torah doesn't say, I will dwell in it. The Torah says, I will dwell in you, I will dwell in Bnei Yisrael. And that's the Iker idea, as the famous statement goes, Bilvavi mishkan evnech, in my heart I build a mishkan for Hashem. Mishkan means a dwelling place, right? And although it's a famous nigun, but the words themselves are from the Sefer Charedim, one of the great Mekubalim in the time of the Arizal, Bovavi Mishkan Evnech. Now, we talked last week about the fact that in the order of Matan Torah, Rashi applies the rule, Ein Mukdim U'Mu'ucher B'Torah, meaning Rashi takes the events at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. What are those events? The building of a Mizbeach, the reading of the Sefer HaBris, the sprinkling of blood on Am Yisrael, and the recitation of Nasa V'Nishma. Rashi says all of that occurred before the Atzeres HaDibros, right? So you have to take the last perek in Mishpatim and you have to move it earlier. Well, Rashi makes an even more radical Ein Mukdim U'Mu'cher B'Torah by the Mishkan. Because again, if you read the Chumash, the commandments of Truma, which is about building the Mishkan, and Tetzaveh, which is about Bigdei Kehuna, all of this is while Moshe is at Har Sinai for the first 40 days, and then in Kisisa, he comes down and he sees the eagle and he snatches it. So it seems, according to the Chumash, that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the details about Melechus HaMishkan before the Chet HaEgel. Rashi actually says, this too is an example. So Rashi here really reorganizes Sefer Shmos in a lot of ways. Rashi says, all of the tzivoyim of Melechus HaMishkan, the tzivoyim have to be moved after the Chet HaEgel. It was only after the Chet HaEgel that Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded about building a Mishkan. Now Rashi doesn't explain why that is so, but he does say, Ein Mukdim U'Mu'cher B'Torah. Ramban, once again, is cholik. Remember, Ramban always likes us to assume that we always make the assumption that the parshiyos are in order unless we're forced. So according to Ramban, the way it works is this. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, mamish, just follow the order of the psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded during the first 40 days. He then comes down, he sees the ego, he smashes the luchos, he has to pray for Bnei Yisrael. He goes up one time for 40 days to pray, and then a third time from Elul to Yom Kippur. And then when he comes down after Yom Kippur, then we have Vayakel. So Vayakel is when he tells Bnei Yisrael to build a Mishkan. So the Ramban admits that Bnei Yisrael did not begin building a Mishkan till the day after Yom Kippur when Moshe came down, but the tzivoy of Melechus HaMishkan was earlier than the Chet HaEgel. It was in the first 40 days, and that is why the parshios are kesedim. Now, let's look at Rashi for a moment. So according to Rashi, the tzivoy of Melechus HaMishkan was after the Chet HaEgel. What's the svara for this? So there are really different mahalchim as to what is the meaning of Rashi. The simple pshat is that of the Sephorno. The Sephorno doesn't explain Rashi per se, but the Sephorno has the same shita as Rashi. The Sephorno says that although we look at the Mishkan as the culminating gift Hashem gave us, in fact the Mishkan is a monument to spiritual failure. Because had there not been a Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have been accessible everywhere. You could bring korbanos everywhere. Anybody could bring korbanos. You wouldn't have to have kohanim. You wouldn't have to have a special ritual. It is only a result of the merchak, of the distance that we achieve with God, in which God basically says, okay, you can only reach me in a certain time, a certain place, a certain way. And Mimela, this is a fascinating hypothetical. Now, obviously, Hashem knows the future. And obviously, the whole Torah was written 2,000 years before Bria Sa'olam, including the Chet HaEgel, But in the hypothetical reality genre that, that science fiction writers are greatly beloved of, in other words, what would have happened? What would the Torah have said had there not been a Chet HaEgel? According to Rashi, had there not, the way the Sephardim understands it, had there not been a Chet HaEgel, there would have been, isn't, there would have been no need for the Mishkan. The Mishkan is a response to the Chet of the ego, which creates a distance and a barrier and a mechitza that requires that we have a special place, a special time, special people, a special ritual. Otherwise, Hashem would have been benimsa, kol makom, kol zman. This is the Sephardim. And the Sephardim actually draws an analogy to this, although it's not quite an analogy. In other words, he says something else about the chiluk between the Dor HaMidbar and later. Now, of course, that's even after the Chet HaEgel. It says the Dor HaMidbar, even after the Chet HaEgel, had an unusual kurva to Hashem that would not have been, that was not the case anywhere else. The Sephardim says that although Ledoros, the Kohen Gadol is only allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim one time a year on Yom Kippur, in the Midbar, Aaron could go in any day he wanted, as long as he did all of the Yom Kippur service. See, it's fascinating. When you look at the Yom Kippur service in Acharei Mos, and you're reading about how the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so we're so used to the idea that that's describing Yom Kippur that we imagine the Torah says, this is on Yom Kippur. It often happens that way. When you read a text, any text that you're very, very familiar with, you think you're reading things that aren't really there. In fact, it doesn't mention Yom Kippur till the very end. It says, and this chok should be in all future generations on the 10th day of Tishrei. And the Sephardim says that for Aaron himself, it was every single day, if he wanted to. I don't know exactly how often he did. It is only in the future generations that it's Yom Kippur. The Vilna Gaon says the same idea. Once again, the Sephardim says it is only Ledoros that there's a merchak, that there's a distance. Now, it's not the same words, really, because the second thought is differentiating between the Dor HaMidbar and future generations. The first thought is differentiating between pre-Chet HaEgel and post-Chet HaEgel. But this is the Sephardim by the Mishkan. And this is explanation number one of Rashi, or in Rashi. Now there is explanation number two in Rashi, or of Rashi, meaning why is the Mishkan connected to the Chet HaEgel? And that explanation is given by Rav Yehuda Halevi in the Kuzari. Again, the Kuzari is not explaining Rashi. The Kuzari, I don't have the exact date, but the Kuzari was either a contemporary of Rashi or even before Rashi, so he does not quote Rashi at all. But the Kuzari has the same shita, that Mishkan is a response to the Chet HaEgel. But he says the following. He says, what was the Chet HaEgel? So according to most opinions, the Ramban has an Arichas, the Chet HaEgel was not idolatry mamish. They did not think that the Egel, which they made, was their god. In fact, it's clear from the Psukim that the reason they had a need to make an Egel is because they were worried about Moshe Rabbeinu not coming down. Moshe Rabbeinu, they thought, should have been down already. He wasn't down. And they knew Moshe was not God, because the lashon of the Pasuk was, Kizem Moshe Ho'ish, Moshe the man, we don't know where he is. So there's a non sequitur here. Moshe the man, we don't know where he is, so let's make a god. We say, let's make a man. Let's make a god, because Moshe the Ish. So the Ramban says, and again, this is really the standard Havana, that the Jewish people thought they needed an intermediary. They couldn't imagine a relationship with Hashem, which was intangible, invisible. They needed some physical middle point, some physical intermediary that would connect them with God. And they thought when Moshe was there, he functioned that way, and they thought the ego would be that intermediary. In other words, they could not envision, they could not visualize a kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that did not have some physical symbol that would channel the spirituality. Right? This is a phenomenon called channeling, in which spiritual energies need to come through physical media. And they looked at Moshe in that particular way. So So Yehuda Levi says an interesting yesod. Yehuda Levi says a yesod that when Klal Yisrael, or any human being actually, has a chisaron that they need a certain thing, even though it's not right, but if that's what they need due to their weakness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give them that which they need. Because what is the Mishkan? The Mishkan is indeed a physical channeler of God's divine presence. Ideally, we shouldn't have needed it. Ideally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Gashmi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have a body, does not have a form. Our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu should not depend on physical objects. But if Am Yisrael shows that they needed it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to them. So this is a little different than the Saporno. Instead of saying it's a getter of a punishment because we're no longer worthy of a connection, it's more in the nature of a concession to our weaknesses. It's actually reminiscent of how the Rambam learns korbanos, that we were attracted to korbanos for idolatry, so Hashem gave us korbanos as a concession to our yetzer hara. And that's why he says in the Kodesh HaKadoshim itself, that represents the epitome of Kedusha, you have something that's Ke'en Avodah Zarah. You have the two kerubim. And what's the pshat? I mean, like we have idols in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The answer is they're forms of spiritual channeling, because if that's what we needed, that's what we got. And the reason why it's inaccessible is that we shouldn't be worshiping them. We shouldn't be going and bowing down to them, etc. But they're there as if to reassure us in our time of weakness. That's the kuzari. And the third explanation. By the way, the Netziv says, again, this is a mahalach that you see a lot of times, that things you shouldn't have needed, but if you need them, they now become a mitzvah to pursue them. A mitzvah. The Netziv says the same thing by a melech. On one hand, the Jewish people should not have needed a melech. Hashem should have been their melech. But once they need, it becomes a mitzvah. If you don't have the emunah, then you're mechliyev to live on that level. So I mentioned the Saporna, I mentioned the Kuzari. A third explanation is actually from Chazal, simply the Medrash, which is maybe the most simple of all, and that is the Mishkan is not a punishment or a concession, but the Mishkan was a gift that Hashem had accepted our tshuva, meaning since Chazal say, B'makam shebali tshuva omdim, Sadiqim gemurim eina michaylam lamod ba, the place where the Baal Tshuva stands, the Baal Tshuva is more beloved to Hashem than even the tzaddik who didn't sin. So Hashem B'dafka gives us a tangible sign of His divine love precisely after the chait and after our tshuva. So it's not a punishment, it's a gift that Hashem is showing us. Because after the chait ha'egel, we were tzebrachen, Aaron certainly, we were broken, discouraged, hopeless, felt that there's no real connection with Hashem that shayach anymore. So Hashem gives us a stronger connection than we had previously. Okay, so this is the idea. So three explanations of why Rashi says that the Mishkan is a response to the Chet HaEgel. Now Ramban obviously, he doesn't learn any of these shitas. Ramban says, no, there would have been a Mishkan. The Mishkan is a Mishkan. So I want to mention an interesting thing. The Meshech Chachma, actually, it's a little bite around. Meshech Chachma points out the following. When does Moshe Rabbeinu command Bnei Yisrael to build the Mishkan? That's clearly after Yom Kippur, when he comes down the third time. And that's Parshas Vayakel. He commands them, and then he tells them, don't do Malacha on Shabbos. And then he tells them to build the details of the Mishkan. So Chazal Darshan over there, that because there's a smichus of Shabbos and Mishkan, that's how we know the rule that you're not allowed to build a Mishkan on Shabbos. And in fact, the definition of what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos are the 39 activities that are involved in the construction of the Mishkan, right? The definition of a malacha are the creative and constructive activities that one did in building a Mishkan, even preliminary things like harvesting, planting, etc., etc. So it's ungenomen that malacha sa Mishkan is Deicha Shabbos. So here's what the Meshech Chachma says. Now, this doesn't fit Rashi, because according to Rashi, had there not been a Cheil HaEgel, there wouldn't have been a Mishkan at all. But the Meshech Chachma says in the Ramban, a fascinating idea. The Meshech Chachma is Medayek, and I don't want to go into the Diyukim right now, that had there been a Mishkan without a Cheil HaEgel, it would have been Deicha even Shabbos. Meaning, the Meshech Chachma is saying that it is only a result of the Cheil HaEgel that Mishkan is not Deicha Shabbos. Had there not been a Cheil HaEgel, Shabbos, I'm sorry, it's only as a result of the Cheil HaEgel, right, that Shabbos is Deicha Mishkan. Had there not been a Cheil HaEgel, Mishkan would have been Deicha Shabbos. Why is that so? So he learns this way. He learns that the function of the Mishkan, like the Ramban, prior to the Egel, is a different function than the function of the Mishkan after the Egel. Prior to the Egel, I would have said something like the Sephorno. I don't need a Mishkan to bring Korbanos. I could bring Korbanos anywhere. But the Mishkan itself is a type of Korban to Hashem. The Mishkan is a Korban. Well, what's the halacha of Korbanos on Shabbos? When you bring a Korban to Hashem on Shabbos, you bring the Korban on Shabbos. You shecht, you cook. The Mishkan is a form of Korban. After the Cheder Mishkan, the Mishkan is a necessary condition to bringing Korbanos. So then it becomes a Hechter. It only becomes a preliminary. In other words, the Halacha is the Avaidah Zeicha Shabbos and not the preliminaries. Without the Cheder Egel, it wouldn't have been a preliminary. It would have been a Korban. After the Cheder Egel, it becomes a preliminary. This is, a fascinating hypothetical halacha, according to the Meshech Chachma, that had there not been a Cheil HaEgel, Melechas HaMishkan would have been Deicha Shabbos. Again, okay. So be it as it may, this is a very important machlekes between Rashi and the Ramban. Now, the mitzvah, V'yasuli Mikdash, V'shachanti B'saicham, V'yasuli Mikdash, is one of the 613 mitzvahs. It is a mitzvah to build a mikdash to Hashem. Right? It's a mitzvah to build a base on mikdash. In the midbar it was the Mishkan, Lidoros. It is the base on mikdash in Yerushalayim. So the question is, just a matter of that's halacha for a moment, why don't we build a base on mikdash today? In other words, there is a mitzvah, the Oraisa, to build a base on mikdash. Now, there are some people, the Temple Mount group, that actually say, let's go ahead and bomb the mosque and build the mikdash, etc. Of course, Kadosh Baruch Hu has all sorts of plans. It could very well be that the mosques are going to collapse of their own accord. I don't know if you follow this at all. For years and years and years, the Muslims or the Arabs have been digging their own tunnels under the Temple Mount, and there really is a very, very strong danger of the whole thing collapsing, which would actually be part of Hashgacha Pratis, but all of these things would collapse. But okay, be it as it may, the simplest answer is, well, you could say, okay, pikuach nefesh, etc. You know, we're not allowed to start World War III, World War IV, whatever war it is, over this. But that would imply that in reality there is a mitzvah, but, you know, pikuach nefesh patrus us from the mitzvah. But the emes is, there are two different things here. Keep in mind, there's a mitzvah to build base on mikdash, and there's also a mitzvah to build to bring korbanos. Now, are the two connected? In theory, they're not. In theory, the mitzvah of bringing korbanos could exist even without a base hamikdash. Why is that so? Because the Gemara in Megillah is machalik between the first kedusha of the Yehoshua and this. Right, what happened? Yehoshua conquered the land and sanctified the land for mitzvos. And that Kedusha lapsed, that Kedusha terminated when there was Chorban. But then 70 years later, Ezra brought Jews back, and they sanctified the land and the Mikdash a second time. And that Kedusha lasted forever. Well, we passed that Kedusha lasted forever. So even after the Chorban, the Makaim HaMikdash is Kadesh. Now, here's the thing. You're only allowed to bring Korbanos in the Makaim HaMikdash, where the Mizbeach is. But because the Kedusha of the Makom HaMikdash didn't terminate with the Chorban, you can bring it even without a building. In other words, you don't need to rebuild a temple to bring Korbanos. if the Kedushas HaMakayim has not terminated. You see the point? So the question becomes, again, how we would get away with it is a big problem, but the question becomes, even if we're not going to build a Beis HaMikdash, are we mechuyev to bring korbanos on the Makayim HaMikdash? So you might say the following, well, that's not going to work, because if the Makayim HaMikdash is Kadesh, again, let me backtrack a little bit, because I have to give you a little more background. In terms of actual halacha, there's a machlekes, the Rambam and the Ravid, how we paskin. It is the Rambam shita that the Makayim HaMikdash is holy even today. That even after the Churban, the Makayim HaMikdash and the Har HaBayis have 100% Kedusha. The Ravid says the Makayim HaMikdash does not have Kedusha Bizman Hazeh after the Churban. Now Rabbi Kivager says the reason why we cannot bring Korbanos Bizman Hazeh is because we're not sure if the halacha is like the Rambam or the halacha is like the Ravid. Now let's analyze this. Bizman Hazeh, all of us are tamei. If you've ever been to a cemetery, you're a tamei neis. And there's no way you can become pure without being sprinkled with the ashes of the Parah Aduma, which we don't have yet. That's why we're not allowed to go on the Har HaBayis. Because if a person is tamei, they're not allowed to enter the Har HaBayis. So let's think about this. So l'chaira, you might say, well, of course we can't bring korbanos today, because we are not allowed to go in the Har HaBayis because we're tamei. Like, that would be your first answer. But the reason that's not a good answer is, although it's true that a tamei person is not allowed to enter the Har HaBayis, we have another principle called Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur, which means that in order to bring a communal offering, now that would include the Korban Tamid, that would include the Musaf, and that would include the Korban Pesach, we are allowed to bring those korbanos even in a state of Tuma. So while it's true that my Tuma would prevent me from bringing a private korban, like an Ola, or a Shlamim, or a Chatas, L'chaira, my Tuma does not prevent me from bringing a communal offering like Pesach, Tamid, and Musaf. So L'chaira, even though I'm Tamei, the din of Tuma Hutra B'Tzibur should allow me, and not just allow me, should be Machayev me to bring Korbanos. So on that, Rabbi Kivager says, but maybe the halacha is like the Ravid, which means like this. Here you have your problem, Mimanoshech. The Rambam says the Makam HaMikdash is Kadesh. The Ravid says the Makam HaMikdash is not Kadesh. Each position has a Kula and a Chumra. Like the Rambam, the Chumra is going to be a Tamei person is not allowed to enter that area because it's Kadesh. The Kula is going to be, because it's Kadesh, if it's a Korban Tzibur, you could bring it because of Tumah Hadribit Tzibur. The Ravid has a Chumra and a Kula as well. The leniency, according to the Ravid, is you would be allowed to walk on the Makam HaMikdash just for sightseeing. It's not Kadesh. The Chumra would be, because it's not Kadesh, if you bring a Korban on the site of the Mikdash today, it is the same as you brought a Korban in your dorm room. It would be, this is a little Kiddush, it would be like bringing a Korban outside of the temple, because even though you're in the temple, it doesn't have Kedusha Samakam. So Rabbi Kivager says, because it's Ein B'Yadeinu La'achriya, if the halacha is like the Rambam or like the Ravid, that is why we're machmir on both sides of the equation. We're machmir like the Rambam, that I'm not allowed to enter the Har HaBayis stam, but we're machmir like the Ravid, that maybe the Makayim doesn't have Kedusha, therefore you're not allowed to bring karbanos. Again, it's an interesting point. If we followed the Rambam Lagamri, you would be allowed to bring a korban sibor in the Makom HaMikdash. If we followed the Ravid Lagamri, you would be allowed to do a tiyul on the Harabayas. See, each one has a big kula, but you wouldn't be allowed to bring a korban sibor. But since it's ein biyadeinu lahachriya, like the Rambam or like the Ravid, so we have to be machmir on both sides of them. Now, truth, there's a whole bunch of other reasons why we can't bring korbanos today, because korbanos do have to be brought on the Makom HaMizbeach, and we're not sure exactly where the Mizbeach is. The korbanos can only be brought by Kohanim. We're not sure who exactly is a Kohen. There are many details in the Gemara about Big De Kahuna, in which there's machloksim in the Gemara and machloksim in the Rishonim, how to interpret the Gemara, and, you know, how you're going to do it. I mean, they have institutes to try to make Big De Kahuna, try to do all these things, but they're obviously going, like, given opinions, and without a Sanhedrin, how do we decide, right? So there are many different issues that have to be resolved. I mean, Rabbi Tiberger himself wrote Shuvas in this, because in the beginning of the 19th century, there were some Rabbanim who thought maybe we should bring a Korban Pesach on the Temple Mount. That's when animosities between Arabs and Jews were not so bad. They would allow us to make a little altar, etc. And Rabbi Tiberger wrote, and the Chassam Sofer wrote long Shuvas why this would not be allowed. However, there is a Taisus in Shuvas that actually says that one of the Balei Taisus actually came to Eretz Yisrael in the 1200s, maybe the 1100s, and actually brought a Korban Pesach on the Harabayas. It's recorded that an eighth Korban Pesach, and held you were permitted to bring a Korban Pesach, and that was obviously taking the position that it's Tumah Hudra B'Tzibor, it's Kadosh, and it's a Korban Tzibor, it's Mudra B'Tzibor, and he brought the Korban Pesach, but that has not been widely followed. The only people who bring a Korban Pesach are the Samaritans, who bring their, I mean, Samaritans are essentially of the Avodah Zarah, but they do bring a Korban Pesach, well, they call it a Korban Pesach, it's a Korban Pesach near Shechem, on Mount Gerizim. And it actually attracts thousands and thousands of people to watch it. In fact, even some, many religious Jews go because they want to get a sense of what a Korban Pesach looked like. But it's been pointed out that, hey, you know, you're going to an idolatrous temple to see how korbanos look like. You know, it's not the best way to learn it. So because of this, even though there is both a mitzvah of building a mikdash and a mitzvah of bringing korbanos, and these are two separate mitzvahs, but nevertheless, right now we're not aggressively pushing it. And the Sfarim tell us that the ikar mitzvah of building a beis hamikdash is to build a beis hamikdash in your heart by following the lessons of the Torah regarding the binyan hamikdash. So we'll talk about that the next time. Actually, we'll stop here, and we'll continue next time about the internal lessons of building the beis hamikdash. Meaning, if we don't build the mikdash biyadayim, then we still have to look at the steps Bnei Yisrael did in building the mikdash to be machnis the mikdash shabalei. Okay, so I have to stop a little early today. But okay.
But I mean, essentially, yeah, according to both shittas of, yeah, Rashi and the Ramban,
yeah,
the mishkan is like almost b'di'evet.
Yes, it is b'di'evet, but we live in a b'di'evet reality, meaning to say, given our madrega, we need it. Right? Now, had we been in a higher madrega, we wouldn't need it. But Lamaisa, we need it.
I mean, it doesn't change the sort of eternal nature of the Torah.
Well, it's like anything else. I mean, you know, Hashem knew the Torah, and Hashem knew we would sin, and therefore the Torah is written in response to the different sins we do. Now, that's always going to be a big problem, because the Chayra, at the time of the Avera, Bnei Yisrael had Bechira. But how could they have Bechira if it's already written in the Torah in Shemayim that it's going to be a Chet HaEgel, right? Now, that wasn't revealed to us. We didn't know that yet. So mitzad us, we have Bechira, but in reality, did we have Bechira if it's already said, right? So that's always going to be a problem, meaning if the Torah existed thousands of years before the creation of the world, then how could you say there is Bechira when the Maisa comes? I mean, that's Bechlal, a difficult question, but the Maisa, Hashem knows how we're going to choose, you know, and the Torah was written, on one hand, you know, it transcends our decisions. On the other hand, it's written in a way that responds to the decisions that we make.
So you have the same questions by Slavko's daughters.
That's right. You have everything like that. In economics. And what, once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going to happen, so the Torah is written that way. Now, had it happened differently, the Torah would have taken another form. Maybe the letters would have been arranged differently. Remember, there's a concept of the sacred letters, but they could form different words. It could have formed different words in that way. Okay, goodness.